thank you everyone for joining us for this concise and informative discussion by Dr. Michael Wald. Dr. Wald, you have many degrees and certifications in the areas of nutrition and health, including two board certifications in nutrition. You are a doctor of chiropractic with a master's in nutrition, and you are a certified nutritional specialist. You have published successful books on natural health, and right now we will be discussing detoxification and alkaline approaches to health, my favorite. Okay, so Carolyn wants to know, she would like to have some comments on what you think is the very best detoxification diet. She would also like to know the best nutritional supplements to take for detoxification efforts. She wants to lose weight and just get toxins out of her body.
Okay. So Carolyn, this is a very important topic because it's probably that every other patient that I see asks me about detoxification. Most of the time, the conversation goes something like this. So Dr. Wald, I came to you because I'm not really sure if what I'm doing is safe for me or if it's appropriate. So I wanted to do some objective tests to see if my detoxification efforts for general health or for weight loss are not causing any problems and, you know, could be improved. So Caroline, I do have on my website a couple of my radio shows. One's called Detox Deception, and the other one, Sunny, is called PH Lies, which for an hour, I go through each of those topics in a way that I spill the beans, that everyone out there will get the same technical information that any practitioner would to understand how we get this wrong all the time. So let me give you a concise summary of what is wrong and what is right with the alkaline perspective and detox in general for weight loss and general health. So when it comes to, let's start with the alkaline question setting, because most people will say to me, well, I thought that alkaline is good, acid is bad. Well, that depends. Alkaline is not good in your stomach because you need to have acid in your stomach. Alkaline is what we need in the mouth so that we have an alkaline environment for the starch digesting enzyme amylase to work. And then when we get the small intestine, it should be on the alkaline end, not the acid end. And then our urine, for example, should be on the acid side. To the acid side. Well, that's why with urinary tract infections, sometimes acidophilus would be given, right? That has like a 30% chance of curing most urinary tract infections. But acidophilus is acid producing. Yeah. So when you bring the acid up, that produces an inhospitable environment for various bacteria and some fungi in the urine. So when we talk about, is acid good? Is alkaline good? And then you say, well, what about the blood? Shouldn't we be alkaline? No, we should not be alkaline. Our blood pH, or the pH is a measurement of acid alkalinity in the body. The pH scale goes from 0 to 14, and 7 is in the middle, and water is the neutral substance. So the average blood pH in human beings, regardless of race, ethnicity, and other factors, male, female, is 7.4. Now, some of you may be a little confused with that because you may be thinking of saliva pH or urine pH, and those pHs, Sonny, they go up and down literally every minute. I can say boo to a person and change their pHs in those areas. And some practitioners, because they can't use blood, use urine and saliva. I'm not saying there are no reasons to do those things, but for the whole overall body trying to determine if you need to be alkaline or not, it's absolutely false. When the pH drops, so I said 7.4 is the average, but the range is 7.35, Sonny, to 7.45. So 7.4 is in the middle of that range. The blood is extremely tightly controlled in that range. Okay. So if it goes low or high, some serious problems have happened. But the saliva and urine, not so much. So if the blood is 7.4, that's neutral is 7, so it's a little higher. So it's on the alkaline end.
Okay.
You can't have a 6 blood. You can't survive with that. Although you can survive with a more or less actual alkaline pH, but you want to be in that range because beyond that, that's when a lot of difficulty occurs with enzyme function in the body, which depends on pH. So enzymes are molecules that run the rate of reactions for healing in the body, either speeding them up or slowing them down. So the concept of pH is this. You should have your acid or alkaline pH in your various compartments. And how is that done? By improving a person's general health, giving their body what it needs. Their body is their organs and glands and tissues and cells. And then the cells work better of the organs and they produce their proper pHs, which secretes it into the mix. So we get a 7.4. And that's kind of how we do it. So what a person needs from one person to another may be very, very different.
Right.
I've had people come in drinking alkaline water, sitting right in my office drinking alkaline water. This one woman with breast cancer, I remember, and the alkaline water said pH of 11 on it. And she's drinking this and drinking. I said, you know, can I test the pH of that water? The pH was just over a 7. It wasn't alkaline. And even if it was, by drinking that, you're drinking alkaline water. That's like taking an antacid all day long. And you dilute your stomach acid, which causes malabsorption and malnutrition. And even bacterial overgrowth in the stomach, because you need the acid to break those bacteria down. But now it's alkaline, it's like a free-for-all. And then, of course, if the stomach acid is alkalinized by drinking alkaline water, you mess up the rest of the digestive tract's coordinated effects, because the stomach connects to the small intestine, which connects to the large intestine, you know, and all this feedback gets screwy. The only time I think that people should consume pH water is if they do not want to take antacids for the reflux or mild gastritis. So alkaline water makes some sense, but not forever. Okay, and then there's the detox question. So what are we detoxing? You know, so a patient says, yeah, I'm just doing a detox. For what? And they look at me kind of funny, for health. I'm like, well, are you detoxing mercury, lead, cadmium, arsenic? Are you detoxing estradiol, you know, hormones? Are you detoxing inflammatory mediators? What are we detoxing? Is it a combination of those things? So the detox, Sonny, has to be formulated based on what the toxins actually are. So you get a baseline of these toxins if there are tests to measure them, like heavy metals are easy to test, and then you organize the diet and nutritional supplements and other lifestyle factors to get rid of those toxins. But very different detoxifying nutrients and other chemicals, compounds known as chelators, which basically bind to toxins and bring them out, are sometimes necessary to get this detox right. Okay. And the last point is for weight loss. So what the body does with toxins, Sonny, is it takes these toxins that are fat-soluble and puts them in fatty tissue. That's a way that the body copes with the toxic load, by diluting the fat-soluble toxins in the fat stores. So let's say this table in front of us here is a fat cell, and everything on the table are the toxins. If you detoxify properly, you remove the stuff from the table, and then when you burn your fat, the table will shrink down. But if the toxins are still there, if the objects are still on the table in the fat tissue, when you lose weight, let's say reducing your calories and exercising, you'll shrink the fat stores. Everything on the table will get close to each other, and it's all this concentrated toxin, and then the body rebounds and makes more fat stores because you didn't first detoxify. So the secret, Sonny, the secret to detoxifying is knowing your toxins and giving the person the appropriate detoxifying agents for that. Sometimes their diet, sometimes their supplementation, sometimes it's exercise. Certain toxins need to be brought out through the urine as opposed, you know, to the stool, breathing, skin, and that's how you do it. But you need to know what you're doing, rather than people simply doing these non-specific detoxes. And they'll say to me, but I feel good. You know how many patients with cancer that come to me that feel good, but they have metastatic disease all over? Or you feel good until you don't. So maybe a person's feeling good now, but if they have a toxic burden that you're not paying attention to, along with some pH problem in a different area of the compartments of the body, then you have issues. So, Carolyn, thanks for this question, because the detox question is a big one. Its relevance to pH is important, and the detox diet that we figure out needs to be based on the toxins, the person's health, medications, what their labs show. Then you give them all the natural substances, and then you make sure you check the toxins to know they truly have detoxified. Okay, elimination from the bowel is different than detoxification. Detoxification is the taking of toxins and converting them into forms that can be eliminated. All toxins eventually need to be turned into water-soluble toxins so they can be urinated out, or sometimes they'll come out through the sweat. But don't think you're going to do like a sauna, get rid of your mercury toxicity. That's just not going to work. Or you're just going to take some chlorella and think you're going to detoxify. So it's just not going to happen. But we know how to detoxify most substances, and in almost every case that can be done naturally. So that's the long answer to a very important group of questions in there, Carol. So thanks for that.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wald. That was very informative.
Okay, thank you. I'm glad. Thank you.